This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 6, 2020. The Second Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
What sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?
The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That question that I just asked, of course, I should say the Holy Spirit asked, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? It is not a question that we read in the second reading today from 1 Peter and think, well, I wonder what they answered. It is a question that's posed of us for our answer. We don't have things in Scripture to read about history and about what things that happen to other people. Things are in Scripture for us. And that question stands today as much as it did back in those days, particularly in context which St. Peter is writing, and that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, which is what Advent is all about, our preparation for the coming of that one who is going to judge us. And the Holy Spirit asks, when Jesus comes back, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? It's a reflection. We hear that word a lot in church, spiritual stuff. Like yesterday we had a Carmelite day of reflection in the church. Reflection. Deepening our understanding, or trying to deepen our understanding of a passage or a concept or even just a word. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do with three things in that short second reading today from the letter of Peter. What sort of person ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Do we really appreciate that we are going to stand before a judge and answer that question? So the question is posed early to us in order that we can cogitate on it here. It's like before taking a test. Wouldn't it be great to have the questions for a test before you took it? There's the question. Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to study for that one. You're going to work on that one. There's a question before the test, the judgment. What sort of person ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And St. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, basically wants us to reflect on three things before we answer the question. Three things that we need to understand when it comes to a life of godliness that our Lord desires of us, that the life of godliness that we're going to present to Him. The first one is eternity. We hear that word, we hear whether it's that word explicitly or implicitly. For instance, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. That sounds like hyper-churchy. Okay, what is that talking about? As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Or we talk about God being immutable, that He never changes, that He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, these concepts is what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, that when we're dealing with God, we're dealing with someone who is completely outside of our realm of understanding. This has got to be pretty important, because the Holy Spirit says through St. Peter, do not ignore this one fact. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. He's actually repeating the words of Psalm 90 when he says that. So this is a concept that is throughout the history of Revelation, Old Testament, New Testament, that God is not bound by linear time the way we are. Linear time is a function of creation. God created everything, and one of the aspects of creation is linear time. The only understanding we have of things is point A and point B. Everything has a beginning. Everything has an end. This is the way we look at it. We can't help it. But when we're dealing with God, He wants us to know, you know, I know you can't help thinking like that. You need to jump tracks. You need to understand that I'm not like you. I'm not bound by the things that you're bound. He's the eternal God. He is a God that is timeless. Very practically, he has a lot, because I'll have people come up to me that, I told somebody I was going to pray about this yesterday, but I forgot. What do I do? Pray about it now? Well, I told him I'd do it yesterday. He's timeless. He understands your frame. He understands that you are dust and you forget things. Just do it now. You told him you were praying about something, pray about something. Go, oh, God's not going to listen to me now because I wasn't on the schedule. That's not how God works. We have to understand that he is eternal, because, like I said, we can say that, yeah, God's eternal. That really should have an effect on the way we approach, for instance, Scripture. I talk to people all the time. I read this Scripture, but, you know, it said that it was going to happen now, and it didn't happen then. So, you know, is it really true because it didn't happen? You're putting your parameters of timing on things. Because in the context of this writing, what are we talking about? Jesus' second coming. Jesus promised to come again. And here we're just one generation into it, if that, and people are already, see, that wasn't true. He wasn't really Messiah. He hasn't come back yet. He said he was going to come back. And he said he was going to come back soon. Now, if you're bound by linear time and you hear that word soon, that means soon. But I mean, that's even subjective for us. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? Soon. Soon. Yeah, 2 or 3 hours, but soon. You know, just get him to shut up. All right? We have to, you know, that's our deal. When God says soon, a day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's been over 2,000 years. Jesus hasn't come back, so it's obvious he's not going to come back. For God, over 2,000 years is like 2 days. Okay? This is what we need to understand about God. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants us to jump tracks. We can't get our heads around that eternity thing. But we need to appreciate it. Appreciate that when he says things, it's going to come to pass in his timing, not in ours. He's not bound by linear time as we are. We need to appreciate that. There's a two-edged sword with this whole eternity thing and the way God looks at things. Eternity is just always a constant. Things are just what they are. This is why our salvation is so easy. You know, it's hard for us, and it's hard for a lot of people. If you witness to people, you say, oh, you need to come back to church, or you need to get back to church, or you need to become a Christian, you need to get baptized. No, I don't. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've lived this pagan life for this many decades. I'm done. It could be. We know from the gospel that's not true. It doesn't matter how long you lived in, so how horrible it was, or anything like that, because God deals with right now. How do you relate to me right now? We like that part of it, that salvation thing. Hey, I lived like trash for 50 years. And now, and I'm talking about a legitimate conversion. I'm talking about, you know, honesty and, you know, truly embracing our Lord Jesus Christ and trying to truly amend your life, contrition, and that firm purpose to amend your life. We like that part because it's very positive. Man, I got away with all that stuff and now I'm going to go to heaven. Sort of like the people that, you know, the workers that came late in the vineyard. You know, we don't like that. Hey, I've lived my whole life as a Christian. They shouldn't get to go to heaven because I, you know, I've been going to daily mass and all this kind of stuff like that. Is not what mine is mine, like God's heaven, to give as I will. You know, don't gripe. Get what I promised you and go on. We like the positive side. This is a scary thing right here because I very rarely hear people bring this one up. Because people always try to explain away when I've lived the life for decades of daily mass and saying rosaries and novenas and all this other good stuff, that they have lived that kind of life, and then they find themselves in mortal sin. And they kind of play off this, well, you know, I'll just go to confession, you know, next week when the times are there, and, you know, I'll be okay then. Maybe, maybe not. Because the way God deals with things, it's right here and right now. Everybody wants to glory in the fact that I live like trash for 50 years and he lets it go because now I just relate to him at the present faithfully. The same thing applies if you live the life of righteousness and you find yourself in mortal sin and you're called to judgment. It is how you are in relation to him with him right now. He talks about this in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that if a righteous man departs from his righteousness and commits evil, he will die in his sin, and his righteous deeds will not be remembered. Thus saith the Lord. This is this whole Advent thing. This is this whole constant Catholic life thing. This is that why we should glory in that whole Catholic guilt thing. I hear that most of all from Catholics. Oh, Catholic guilt. Praise God for it. But it puts us on notice that we need to fix things. That's what this is all about, particularly in Advent season. So God is eternal. And we don't, I lived a whole life doing this, that, the other thing, all these great things. And I was doing this for God. And I was doing this ministry and that ministry. But I know I'm in mortal sin. But I'll go to confession next week and you die here before the judgment. You're just in mortal sin. He doesn't see what happened before or what's going to happen for what you wanted to do later on. Now, is he merciful? And I think that there are private revelations that describe people that have died in a state of mortal sin and that the intercession of the Blessed Virgin has saved them from a life of hell. They go to purgatory. Okay, we need to understand that that's how God works. You need to be right with God all the time if you are truly actively waiting for him to come back as judge. So when this is the emphasis of why, this eternity thing, okay, this is the way God works. Don't ever fall into this whole, you know, trying to apply God's, your timing to God. Under the discussion on eternity with this one, you know, you hear these people, oh, that young person died, that was an untimely death. There has never, ever on the face of this planet been an untimely death. Every single one of us, our days are numbered when we're formed in the womb. God knows exactly when he's going to call us back. We don't, but he does. So when the 18 or 19-year-old dies in this way or another thing, oh, that was, God didn't will that. Then who did? God is 1,000 years, 1,000 days, whether you're 18 or 118. It doesn't make any difference in the scheme of eternity. There are no untimely deaths. The Holy Spirit wants us to understand this eternity thing because it's a second point of reflection, God's mercy. I'm going to harp on too much on this because we hear about it constantly, sometimes ad nauseum, about God's mercy and his grace and all this, which I don't want to be pejorative about that because it's true. You know, that's why we get to go to heaven, is because of his grace and his mercy. But it is his eternal being that shows his mercy first and foremost. St. Peter says, the Lord is not slow as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you. God is putting in abeyance. He's tabling the punishments and all this. He's stepping back right now. I sent my son to die for them. All they need to do is embrace that. So I'm going to stand and watch who does. I'm going to see how if they say that they do it and they live a life commensurate with what they say they believe about the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is being patient with us for our own good. Doesn't benefit him one way or another. He's always God. Does not benefit him one bit. His patience benefits us. And you don't read that and go, well, that means the pagans who don't believe anything. Well, yeah, it does, but it also means us. It means coming to a fuller and fuller repentance before him, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you much rather stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you've been a Catholic for 2 days or if you've been a Catholic for 50 years? If you're doing it right, you know, the 50-year thing's going to be a whole lot better because you've heaped up merits. That's what we want. This is what we have to approach when we talk about God's eternity. Because the eternity for him, that present, is going to intrude in our linear time. So God seeks no one's condemnation. He desires that all would come to repentance. But we have to understand, as it says, that but the day of the Lord will come. Not might come, not, don't worry about it. The day of the Lord will come. The earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up with fire. St. Peter getting all fire and brimstone-y on us here. They will. You don't have to worry about fire and brimstone now, right now. You should be prepared for the judgment that could result in that. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. When we start to cogitate on this, then, and it's interesting, The Holy Spirit poses the question again in different words. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, burned up, what sort of person ought you to be? This is the question. This isn't just a question for Advent. This isn't a question to kind of kick around for half an hour after you leave the homily today. This is what our Catholic life is. Every single day, if you do your examination, I would actually say, that should be the verse, and it's easy to memorize, it's short. That should be the verse that you that starts your examination of conscience. Since all these things are going to be dissolved, what sort of person ought I to be? And when you do your examination of conscience, was I the person that I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Because this is not, as I keep harping on, not a member of just sitting passively waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture in verse 12 of this reading from St. Peter, it actually says we are waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Well, I heard that he's going to come when he wants. Yeah, but he also tells us through his Holy Spirit that we in some way hasten that coming. As a matter of fact, when the apostles asked the Lord how to pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The next petition, right up front, after hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. If it was up to God, God's just going to come back when he wants to in his own timing, why would our Lord tell us to pray that? You ever think about why you say that? You want his kingdom to come. And our Lord says, pray for it, because it hastens. It hastens because we do things in this world. Not only praying for it, but our commission, evangelism. When we advance the kingdom of God in this world, why is he being patient? Because he wants all sinners to come to repentance. How does that happen in this world? His church and you, as parts of the body of Christ, starting with yourself and the work of your family and then the circle of acquaintances that our Lord will share his gospel with them through you. You know, this is what we have to understand. This is how you hasten the kingdom of God. Our prayer, our evangelism, these things are a reality. They are objective reality when it comes to understanding that we have part in this eternity. You actually influence how and when God is going to do things through your prayers and through your evangelism. To tie all this up, I mean, it's very practical, particularly when we look at the, you know, the liturgy, the liturgical cycle, and Advent, the beginning of the Catholic year. St. Jose Maria Escriva, he says, and I quote, God may have given us just one more year to serve him. Don't think of five or even two. Just concentrate on this one year that has just begun. This is why we have a liturgical cycle. This is why the Holy Spirit has done what he has done through the church. Well, we just don't come in and just haphazardly, you know, I come up with what we're going to talk about today or what color it's going to be up on the altar and everything. It's for the good of souls. It's for the good of the body of Christ. It's for the good of the kingdom of God being reinstituted in this world. This is what the church does. Again, you have a huge part in eternity, but understand that it's eternity and it can't be pigeonholed in the way we look at things. In the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.